Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Let It Fly, episode number 10. I'm trying a different tact on recording today. I'm using a different mic set, so we'll see how this works. I actually have recently purchased a set of gaming headphones, and they have a built-in mic. And because the mic is in front of your face the entire time, normally I just use the Apple headphones to record with. But since I had two people complain about one particular show, I'm not exactly sure what I did wrong. And the thing is I downloaded all the shows from the server, and I also listened to them in the app, and they all sound exactly the same to me. And I have no problem with the audio level. So I cannot figure out if somehow maybe the file got corrupt, or I know a couple of the guys were using Android devices to listen, and I'm not sure if that was the problem or what happened, but I downloaded the shows both from my server directly and out of the Comic Book Noise feed. Did not have any problem. So I'm not quite sure. So you're going to hear a little bit of breathing here because of the way this thing is set up, but I'm hoping that this gives me the an increase in sound quality for the most part. The one thing I will say about using Boss Jock Studio when you hook up a mic is that, man, it picks up surrounding sounds very easy. I'm not sure if you can hear it, but because I also spent about 2 hours testing, trying to figure out why I had this problem, which meant that I would record like 25 seconds of sound and compress it at different rates, and then listen to it in the app, put it on the server, pull it back down from the server, listen to it there, listen to it through different applications, and I cannot find a problem. But during the course of this, I have hardwood floors and my dogs walk across it, and I can hear every single toenail as it went across there. So anyway, you can reach me at scifidig@gmail.com, and I have a comment line, which number I do not have in front of me right now. But if you look in the show notes, that'll be attached to this, the ID3 tags. I've been including the phone number in there so that folks can contact me that way if they need to. So at any rate, one of the new things that has happened, I've been talking a lot about video games on the show. And believe it or not, I am not a huge video gamer. I come across one or two games, I'll play them, and I never buy a game new. Usually, I can count, I think in my life I've bought one game the day and date came out. Usually I always had games for $20 because I don't play them enough to justify $50 or $60 at the get-go. So I actually, because this winter has been so, I can't say that the winter has been super hard, but there's always some reason I can't get outside. Either it's sub-zero temperatures or we just have so much snow, there's not anything you can do. And I am chomping at the bit to get back to running because I tell you what, I'm getting fatter every day and I need to get back to it in a big way. And I hit the gym on a fairly regular basis, but running on a treadmill is not the same as running outside. One, you're moving your mass. One, you're moving your legs. And although I get my heart rate where I need it to be, and it can tell me how many calories I burned. It can tell me whatever it wants to tell me. But when I run outside, everything's better. It's the first day of spring, the first spring-like day you can get out there and run. Usually the day after you're hurt because you're just you're using your muscles more than if you were on a treadmill. But finally, some of the snow has melted. I can deal with sub-zero temperatures when I run. I just layer up or whatever, but what I can't deal with is ice on the road because I'm afraid I'm going to slip and pull something or break my ankle or something like that, and I certainly can't afford that. I mean, I'm old. I get brittle bones. I got to be careful out there. But I am chomping at the bit to get back to it, and it's kind of driving me a little bit stir-crazy right now that I'm being stuck in the house. But anyway, so I've been talking about Shadows of Mordor, which is a Christmas gift, and I finally completed the main storyline on that, and that's a lot of fun. And my wife had gotten me Evolve, and I am not a first-person shooter kind of guy. Usually I avoid them like a plague. I just do not like them. But Evolve is a little bit different because you can be the first-person part where you're with a team, and you have to work as a team or it doesn't work. Or you can be the monster, which is third-person. So the idea is you're hunting a monster, and the monster is trying to evolve, and then take out the hunters. And it just turned out to be a fairly fun game, and most of the reason for that is I've been playing online with some friends, which kind of changes it up, because if nothing else, you can just kind of shoot the bull while you play, and if you guys can work together as a team, you can succeed pretty much every time, as long as everybody, you know, does their part or whatever. But it's been a lot of fun. Although I highly recommend the game for group play, it's not something that I would have ever paid $60 for. That's how much new games are when they come out, for the most part. At $30, $40, probably a good deal, but it was a gift, so there's that. Been doing a lot of that, and I started reading Alias from Marvel Comics. I know that that's an older book, but it's been on my list of things to read, and it's been kind of sitting here. And something always comes up with there not being, having so much snow and so many sub-zero temperatures. There has been, not been a lot of school. I think that there's been 3 days of school out of the last, like, 10. So we have been doing other things around the house and things like that. And also, my furnace decided that it would go ahead and not stop working right before we were going to get like 15 below temperatures. So I've been slowly, at this point, the furnace works, but I've replaced pretty much every part on the furnace, which was funny, because when we were here to replace part number 2 or 3, I can't keep track, the guy says to me, he says, you know, the inside of your furnace is, he's like, this is an older system. And he's like, I can pull all the guts out of here and replace this, you know. And he's like, and then all the parts will be much easier available. Although we didn't have any trouble getting parts, he was concerned with the future. And I said, well, you know, if he had told me that about $300 ago, we would have done that. But I'm like, now I'm committed, because now everything in here is brand new. And so I got the last piece, and it works fine. Unfortunately, we have an oil furnace. And anytime you work on an oil furnace, I don't care what you're doing, anytime you got to pull the burner body out of it, you get an oil smell in your house, and it lasts for about a week. So when I'm here, I can't tell too much, but when I walk outside and walk back in the house, as soon as I walk in, I can smell that oil. So I'm hoping that over the course of the next few days, that kind of dissipates and gets back to normal, because although it doesn't really bother me that much, it seems to bother my wife a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what to do about getting rid of it. So just going to have to hope it, you know, it's... I can even find the ducts where it smells the most, and that's right. Those are the ducts that have the shortest distance to travel, air-wise. And, you know, where the oil had leaked out when they were working on it is right by the blower. So it just kind of sucks that smell right into the system and then blows it out through the house. So, but it is what it is. I have heat. I'm not complaining. Better than not having heat and not having an oil smell, right? That's the way I look at it. So... So I've been reading Alias. I've been really enjoying, I read the first, 5 issues and been really enjoying it. It was one of those books that I started reading it last night, and next thing I know, it was past my bedtime, and I'm like, okay, I could keep going, but I need to put it down and come back to it. But I think that, I don't want to, I mean, I think most people probably have already read Alias, but you know, it's a Marvel Max title, so there's a lot of language in it, and it, although there are heroes in it, we don't see a lot of spandex wearing type of things. It's more of a lot of political intrigue, and it's more of a thriller in a lot of ways. And I really like that. I really like what they've set up in the Marvel Universe to have this. It's worked real well. And if you've read any of the Marvel Max Punisher or things like that, very similar to that. Very kind of reality set type comics. Do not love the art. The art does tell the story, but it is definitely a little bit different in a lot of ways. But I'm starting to get kind of attached to the art. It just, in the beginning, I'm like, this is okay. You know, it tells a story. That's all I'm worried about. And but I would have liked to have seen more a little more detail in the art than what we get. But for the most part, really enjoying it. The other thing that happened this week that I thought was kind of cool is my daughter was having a conversation about serial killers. Not scary at all, right? But we were discussing Jack the Ripper and how she had some questions about it, and she had there's been so many stories told about Jack the Ripper, and so much. It's become I don't want to say pop culture, but it's become a part of our culture. You know, referencing that, or all the different theories behind it, and the fact that they're able to include this in a lot of different things, and there's no to make it kind of interesting. Like, for example, I don't know whether I want to spoil this, but the show's ancient now, but Babylon 5 is one of my favorite television series. It's probably number one on my list. Very well done, and Jack the Ripper makes an appearance in there in a way. The way it works out, it's like the reveal doesn't come until the end, and then you're like, oh my God, you know, I did not see that coming. And it just shows that you can incorporate this character in pretty much anything because he kind of disappeared. So during this conversation, I was like, well, you know, there's a lot of books out there, I said, but you have to find the things that are based in reality, the nonfiction type stuff. It's hard to find that because even fictionalized historical fiction, you know, they don't know, and since they don't know, they grasp, and they, you know, because they want you to have a good read. And although that's fascinating, it's not necessarily giving her what she wants to know. You know, she kind of wants to know history and what happened to him and all this other stuff. But I mean, I guess really nobody knows, right? And so through the process of this, we were discussing some of the books that were out there, and I mentioned the book From Hell and the movie From Hell. And I thought I've never read the book. I had a friend that had it. It was going to lend it to me, and I was reading something else at the time, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I was able to buy a digital copy of it, and I'm going to read it, but we were talking about the movie, and I said, well, there's a movie. It has this whole big, long theory behind it. You know, I'm like, it is not necessarily true, but, you know, and I know that, you know, it's funny because when you read like some of the synopsis of these and some of the, even about the book, they're like, well, you know, people, hardcore theorists, the Jack the Ripper, you know, have dismissed this idea. And it's like, okay, so the people who, you know, the conspiracy theorists, the Jack the Ripper and things like that, they have dismissed this conspiracy, so that somehow that's legitimate, which is kind of weird, but it's kind of funny when you think about it. But anyway, so I ended up buying that movie because I couldn't find anywhere to rent it. And I was like, well, I bought the movie. I said, so hopefully we'll sit down one day and watch it. I mean, I've seen it once and I enjoyed it, but I would like to, I want to read the book. So that's my next thing. I'm going to finish Alias, and then I'm going to move on to that, and then probably go back to some hero comics at some point in time and check those out. I was incredibly bummed out this week that there was no new Flash episode, and I realized that. Until I went, I mean, when I sit down and watch it, and I clicked the button for what was on my DVR, I was like, hey, there's no new Flash. So I just happened, it was like 9:30, so I happened to scroll down to find it on the station and realize it was a repeat. And I kind of knew that, because remember last week it said in 2 weeks, you know, but I was just kind of bummed out because Flash is probably my favorite hero-type show on television right now. I know some people take issue with Barry not being very smart about things, or the fact that he keeps showing everybody his secret identity. It's, you know, it's him, you know, it's Flash year one, right? I mean, he's still learning all this stuff, you know, he still doesn't even know how to use his powers properly. So, I think that they've done a really good job with that show. It's the number one show I look forward to. I know a lot of people like Arrow. Arrow still has a little bit too much teenage angst for me. They're getting better with it. They're making the relationships more adult, which I appreciate. Don't get me wrong, I love Arrow, but if I could only have one, it'd be Flash. And I also enjoy Gotham, but sometimes they try too hard. Like I said, you know, I am of the mindset that we need less Batman in that show, less Bruce Wayne. And I want it to be more about the police department. But this last episode, and again, I don't want to give any spoilers, we get to the ending and we see what's happening and what they're developing. I'm pretty excited for what's going on there, and that's going to make the show kind of a different caliber than what it's been. I guess part of my problem is they spend too much time marketing the fact that, oh, we've met this villain, you know. It's like, okay, well, meeting these villains is neither here nor there. The show is supposed to be about the police department and what goes on there. So I'm kind of hoping that I'm enjoying the show, don't get me wrong, but I'm just in the mindset that I wanted it to be a cop show first and a superhero show second. And as time goes on, it's kind of slowly morphing. It started out okay, but now we're kind of morphing into a villain of the week, and it's somebody that we know. And really, the way they're saying the villains have to be completely different than the comic, what does it matter if it's, why market it to somebody we know if they're going to set it up anyhow? Isn't it better to act like this is a brand new character that you don't know of, and they're going to give us the information of how this person's going to interact in this world that they've set up? That's kind of what I look forward to when watching the show. And like the episode that had the, you know, supposedly this person was a Joker, that's getting kind of old too. It's like, if you introduce the Joker, that's, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I think that the Joker's origin is something that nobody should ever know, because it adds this whole mystique to him. And that's kind of how I want it. And I don't believe for one second when they say that we're going to see the Joker's origin or we're going to meet the Joker. I don't really think that we are. I just think it's kind of a setup. So they keep doing that over and over and over again. And then you can decide for yourself. But I would rather stick with the corruption and all the political intrigue with the different families and, you know, how does it all connect to Wayne Enterprises and things like that. That's what I like coming back to, because then it's a show that happens to take place in the same place where Batman was created, but it doesn't focus on that, and that's kind of what I'm after in this show. But, I mean, with that, all that being said, I mean, yeah, that's kind of overly critical, but I'm really enjoying the show for what it is, but not as much as I enjoy The Flash. I really, really, really enjoy The Flash. It is one of the shows I look forward to every week, and so I was kind of bummed out it wasn't on there. And it's one of the shows that I kind of wished that I had enough room in my DVR that I could have just saved every episode, so maybe over the summer I could sit down and watch it all again, one after the other, and try to make all the connections with the characters, because sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. But and also the crossover between The Flash and Arrow was pretty outstanding. Very well done. I mean, it kind of makes you nostalgic for these shows, you know, back in the day when you had crossovers between different shows. And, you know, Simon and Simon and Magnum P.I., when they did a crossover, it was a big deal. And whether they were good or not, neither here nor there, it was just the fact that they were crossing over. Seems really interesting, because you have, even as a kid, you knew you had these two separate universes and somehow they were meshing together. And, you know, Shazam and Isis and, you know, all those shows that had a crossover. It was real exciting at the time because you knew the characters, but they didn't know each other. So, like, when they're trying to figure it out, you're like, well, you know, you got to show them this, you got to show them that, you know. And it just, it all kind of meshes together in the end. And that's what I like. We've had a lot of superhero news coming up, you know. All these different movies and their dates, they keep setting these, I don't understand what this game is with, we're going to tell you the date this movie's going to come out. We don't know anything else about it. We just know that was the date we want it to come out. And then, of course, things get shifted around. It's what I like is just the fact that all the different announcements of the different movies coming out, you know. And I realize that we're, you know, at a time where their superhero genre is really booming big. And some people were complaining because, you know, there weren't enough superhero movies, and now there's a bunch of them, so we have to complain. But that was probably the internet outrage last week. It's a good thing that we had the Academy Awards, because there was nothing to be angry about until we had the Academy Awards. Now everybody can complain about that for another week. I did enjoy some of the responses about the way that people were kind of downplaying or mocking some of the superhero films out there, you know, during the Academy Awards. I didn't watch the Academy Awards, but I saw a couple of responses about, you know, was it James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy was talking about how you put as much love and care into crafting a superhero movie as you do anything else. Just because it's a blockbuster doesn't mean that, you know, you don't care about it. In fact, it's not like a little indie film, doesn't mean that you don't care about the characters, you don't care about making a good film, you know, and things like that. And that's kind of how I feel about some of, you know, reviewers and things like that who tear things apart. If I don't like something, usually it's something that it doesn't appeal to me. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean somebody else doesn't like it. But it's kind of how I look at things. Everything is somebody's baby, and they don't want to hear somebody dissect it or say it was god-awful or whatever. And but with that being said, you know, I've had my share of films where I'm like, this was horrible, and it made no sense, you know. Transformers 4 is a good one. It just was not a good movie. I wanted to like it so much, and I just I watched this, and I'm like, I don't even know what happened. And I'm like, maybe I didn't follow that. And I thought momentarily for about a minute and a half that I would watch it again, because I'm like, I don't understand what has just gone on here. And then I was like, no, I can't do that to myself. It was just not a good film. And I did not get it at all. I did not understand it. And I did not know what the point of it was. And so there's that. But again, that's somebody's baby, I guess. And, you know, but it just was not, it didn't appeal to me. And I was kind of completely lost during it, you know. But at the same point in time, you know, there's other films out there that people did not like. And for me, they worked fine. You know, and here's the thing is when I go to a theater or I get a DVD and I want to be entertained, if I sit there and for that time frame I'm not looking at my watch and I'm entertained and I'm laughing or, you know, kind of cheering on the hero or whatever, then it worked, right? Doesn't mean it has to be a life changer. Doesn't mean it has to be like, man, I can't wait to get it on DVD so I can, you know, rewatch that again. You know, if I just walk out and I'm entertained, then that's what I'm after. I don't really need, I don't need it to be a game changer or a life changer or make me, you know, think about things. It's just, you know, you go there, you escape, you have a good time, and that's that. And that's kind of what I look for in a film. But, however, if I go to see a film and I'm looking at my watch every 5 minutes because it just seems to be going on and on, or I'm just like, the whole time, like, I have no idea what is happening here. I mean, why is this doing this? Why are they not doing that? Why is there this huge plot hole here? That is, if I can spot a plot hole, then anybody can, because I'm not that critical when I'm watching a film. I'm just kind of in there for the ride. Then usually after the fact, that's when I'm like, oh yeah, this didn't make a lot of sense when you did this. But I don't really think about that, you know, while I'm watching the film. But if that's happening while I'm watching it, that means it's a pretty big hole that's pretty, you're very noticeable, you know, that you're just like, wow, you know, that made no sense. But anyhow, those are my thoughts about what's happening this week. I've been really, I cannot wait to get out and fire up the foundry and try to do some sand casting. But unfortunately, as long as the weather's like this, it's not going to happen. If it could just get to dry up a little bit, then I'd do it. But part of the problem is that the foundry has to sit on my porch, my front porch, which is made of cement. And I'm afraid that if I get the foundry too hot while everything else around it is cold, that it's going to crack the cement, or that there's going to be too much condensation somewhere in it, and mixing molten metal and water is a hellaciously bad idea. Or so I hear. Do not want to experience that firsthand. But and the other thing is that I'm an avid photographer. I like trying all kind of different photography things. I have way too many cameras. You know, one of the, I like doing aerial photography, and I do that with a GoPro and a kite. And if I can get the, this is the perfect time for that, because there is enough snow on the ground to kind of give you the lay of the land, but there's enough thawing taking place that roads and things like that, there's no snow on those, so it's easy to tell what's what. So if you wanted to do aerial photography And also there's no leaves on the trees, which means you have a clearer picture of what's happening. So if you want to do aerial photography, then now's the time to do it. And I know a lot of people use drones and things like that, but my kite cost me $16. So, and then I made a homemade kite reel because my other one broke. I made a homemade one for, couldn't have cost me more than like $12 because I had wood laying around here. And then of course the camera, and then the pic-a-vet, the camera has to sit in, which is you put it on there, you mount the camera on there, and you run string a certain way through 4 points so that no matter which way the kite goes, the camera always stays level because it swings back and forth and the pic-a-vet stays level and you can get some good photos that way. And this is the prime time to be doing that. Unfortunately, today there's absolutely no wind, and that's the other downside. You have to have some sort of wind to really get it up there, and I have about 800 feet of line, and so usually you don't go 800 feet up, you go at an angle, so I figure I'm probably 500 feet off the ground or so. I do have to say that the GoPro is one of the most durable cameras I've ever used in my life, because I can't tell you how many times I've dive-bombed that kite into the ground, smashed the camera off the ground, there's not a problem. The worst thing that ever happened was, it was very, very cold outside one day, and for some reason I thought it would be a good day to go do this. Well, it was kind of windy too, and the kite hit the ground, and I went over and got it right back up in the air again. Unfortunately, the camera hit the ground so hard, it ejected the SD card. So any pictures that would have been taken during the time frame went up a second time, did not happen. And then I had to wind the kite in, and my hands were so frozen that I had to, luckily I was in a nice open area, I had to start my car and hold my hands in front of the heater one at a time while I hung onto the string and slowly wound it in. And I was just like, after I did that, I'm like, I'm never doing this again. So I built a better reel that's more sturdy, and I can actually, goes in a circle. You know, I can actually reel it in. The last time I used the kite was on vacation, and I did some aerial photographies, or some aerial photos of the beach there. And my kite reel, before I built the new one, it was kind of homemade. It was just, two pieces of dowel about 6 inches apart that was reinforced in the center. So you had one handle on either side. So you just kind of spun it in your hand to reel the kite in. Unfortunately, when I got out of the car, I realized that one of the dowels was broke. So, you didn't have any real distance between the two to reel it in, so it was going to take forever, but I didn't want to pass up the opportunity to do some photos, so I flew it, and then it probably took me 25 minutes to reel it in, and then I was like, well, this is no good, but I managed to get some great photos, so then I built the new one, and I've only used it once, but I didn't let all the line out, so I'm interested in doing it again. I found a design online that actually has a break built into it, which is kind of cool, but my center, where the string ravels, you know, where you ravel it all up, needs to be bigger. I think it's only about 3 or 4 inches in diameter. Don't get me wrong, reeling the kite is going to be really easy now, but I need to increase that diameter to about 6 or 8 inches, and then you can figure out how much. I think of like 8 inches, like one turn. After you start getting it up there, you figure like one complete turn. There's a way to figure out exactly how much line it's taking in. When you do that, and that's what I need to do, because then I can just reel the kite in with no problem at all. It would merely take minutes to reel it in. But with the brake, it's kind of cool. It has a little brake on the side, so I can let it go and then just kind of slow it down with the brake and get it where I want it, because sometimes you need to level it off a little bit in order to get the photos you want to get. But, of course, now that I'm talking about it, I really want to go do it. So maybe I'll set out to maybe do that tomorrow if we get some wind, but it's supposed to be bitter cold. We got a couple more days of bitter cold here, but I have not been wanting spring more than I have at this point in time. I'm ready to, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'm ready to get out there and do some running and ready to start planting a garden, digging up flowers, all that stuff. I'm just dying to get outside. You know, as much as I enjoy my inside time of being able to be guilt-free about playing video games or reading comics or whatever, I'm really dying to get outside and start doing some things out there. But the foundry and the aerial photography are the two things that I really want to get at. I just can't get the I think I have the sand right at this point in time, but until I try it, I will not know, and I'm just kind of, it's just too cold outside to try to mold something right now. But I can still fire up the foundry and melt cans. I made the mistake of telling people that I wanted their cans if they had them. So now I have like four big trash bags full of cans, and I just want to fire it up and get them all melted into ingots, and then from there, maybe try to do some sort of casting. But anyway, that's all I got going on. I will talk to everybody next time, and you can reach me at scifidig@gmail.com.